Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
To ban or not to ban or even to regulate, those might be the questions. Schools all over the world have been struggling, trying to figure out how to best limit the usages of phones among students. A UN report in support of technology regulation emphasised the need for a human-centred vision. What does that mean, though? Simon Lewis, Carlo Educate Together, a principal and host of If I Were the Minister for Education podcast. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip. How are you doing?
Very good. Can you describe to us, please, for the benefit of anybody who is not in education themselves right now or doesn't have a child in school, what does a classroom look like vis-a-vis phones?
Yeah, I suppose I'm coming from a primary school perspective. So I suppose a classroom, to those of you who haven't been in one since you were in primary school yourselves, isn't hugely different in many ways, but the one difference is the amount of technology that's now, I suppose, ubiquitous in the room. We don't have blackboards anymore. We have digital whiteboards. Children are using devices to do some of their work. And when it comes to phones, I suppose in primary level at least, most phones are at the bottoms of school bags and rarely outside of them. So that's probably a quick picture of what they look like.
But they're there, they're a temptation, and occasionally they might be rummaged for. What ages are you seeing the youngest of children who have phones at?
We're seeing children as young as four with their own device, not one they're borrowing from mommy or daddy. Now, that's rare, but by the time they get to about fifth or sixth class, you would be in the minority not owning a smartphone.
And presumably by the time you arrive in secondary school, it is the must-have.
I think it's the default position rather than even just being a must. It's not even a kind of a big deal. You know, it's just a given. You know, in the same way as other things are a given when you become a teenager, you get access or you have certain things. A smartphone seems to be the default thing that you have these days.
Now, I know amongst many parents, the first reason that they will offer or give a phone to their kids is so they can keep tabs on them and that the kid can get in touch in the event of an emergency or just the straightforward day-to-day logistics, or business of logistics and childcare. What for you, though, are the reasons not to have them?
Well, I mean, the reasons you just gave were excellent reasons to keep tabs on your child. The trouble is that's not happening. And, you know, we're keeping tabs on where a child might be physically in wherever they might be through GPS or whatever. But actually what they're doing on the devices is what we're not keeping tabs on. And that's possibly the reason for not having them. We need to know what they're doing on them rather than just simply where they are.
So what do we do then? Do we regulate them so that parents and teachers can snoop on their children, or do we just ban them ever turning up in school at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more than just schools. I mean, like at primary level, there's very, very few primary schools where phones are used at all. It's an accepted norm that smartphones shouldn't be used by primary school children, and I think essentially that society has agreed that, you know, in a way that in school they're just not part of the equation, and many schools are kind of banning them and without any uproar. I think it's when they come to secondary school that's different, but just even going on that,
do you get pushback from parents on that, Simon? Do you hear of teachers having to explain these rules in no uncertain terms to some parents?
No, not really. I mean, and the reason for that is because it's widely accepted, even if that's not happening at home. Regulated access or using smartphones, even if that's not regulated at home, there's a general societal acceptance that having smartphones in schools isn't on. So you don't get much feedback, and I think that's where the solution lies. In a way, in the wider scheme of things, is that, you know, if society sort of dictates that it's not actually acceptable for children to be having their faces mindlessly on a smartphone when they're sitting in a buggy or when they're sitting in a restaurant or when they're going about their everyday, like that kind of stuff. If we looked at that in the same way nearly as, I mean, I don't know, 40 years ago, if you were on a bus, you'd have people smoking on the bus. If someone smokes on the bus these days, you know, people are in uproar. But that was totally acceptable a few years ago. We need to look at things that we do mindlessly with smart devices and mm-hmm. sort of realise mm-hmm. that society, that's just not okay, you know. And I think maybe that's where we are at the moment. We're asking that difficult question about, okay, technology is obviously incredibly important. We need to use it. It can be used for good. We can keep tabs on our kids when we need to. We can do, children can do all sorts of amazing things using technology. But it's that mindless stuff that we're doing, the dangerous stuff that we're allowing
okay,
to happen.
So do you think that phone usage is something that should be taught in school then?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it is and has been for about, I'm teaching 20 years, and I mean, smartphones have become, I suppose, ubiquitous in the last 10. And every year, there's a fantastic government program called WebWise, which I'd recommend to any of your listeners look at. There's parent sections and everything. Probably one of the best guides out there for parents and for schools.
I know, but I can hear teachers groaning inwardly at the thought of saying, God, are we going to have to take this on board as well as everything else? When are parents going to actually do some parenting instead of outsourcing everything to us?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and the thing is, schools are doing this. You know, we are teaching children about about using technology safely. And we, on top of that, schools are paying a fortune every year to experts out there to teach, to run parent workshops. But they're not being attended by parents. So there is an element, and I suppose we do have to name it, that parental responsibility is big. Where, you know, schools aren't the ones buying the smartphones. You know, there's only one or two people that are buying the smartphones for their very young children, mm-hmm. and they don't need to. And they need to, I suppose, in a way. And going back to my analogy, that if you're a parent and you buy your child anything, you have to be responsible for what they're doing on that thing, whether that's a smartphone, whether it's a big bag of sweets. You have to suffer the consequences if that goes wrong.
But in the absence of parents doing that, are you saying that teachers are going to have to, because the potential damage to children is just huge?
The potential damage is huge, and we've seen that, and we see that more regularly than we'd like of the problems that children find themselves in, whether that's things like cyberbullying or to awful situations which we've heard in the news over that number of years. And that's not going away. And we also have to acknowledge that despite all the efforts of trying to get parents on board, that's not working either. So I think schools will play a part, as we always do, but I think we need to go higher again. And this is where we need the government involved. The Department of Education needs to take technology seriously, and it hasn't done over the last 20 years. They've taken a sure it'll be grand approach pretty much to the use of technology and relying on the goodwill of teachers to, mm-hmm. to pick up the slack. But I think I'm not a fan of regulation for the sake of regulation, but it's the risks are too high for things that can go wrong. Technology can be a huge force for good, and we know that we couldn't live our lives without the internet. If the internet goes down in a school, you'll know about it within seconds because it's so useful. But it's that dark side that we're all aware of, and we all and is quite addictive, and we know that as adults.
A texter makes
to be able to manage it.
The texter making a very good point here about the social exclusion that comes as a result of phones. That whatever about the bullying that might take place on certain platforms, the actual phone that you are carrying around is very often a marker of whether you are going to end up being in with the in crowd, or you're going to be ostracised.
Yeah, it is a point, and we have found ourselves in that mad situation where we think we're giving a child something akin to a weapon in a way, because that's what it can be used for. It's been weaponized for social exclusion, and sort of shrugging our shoulders and going, "Well, there's not much we can do about it." So, given that we know that, you know, that sort of, what are we going to do? How do we use these as a force for good? And that's where, you know, society has to agree on, okay, how are we going to manage these things? Because we're not managing them.
Okay.
We're not managing them at all.
As you are the host of the podcast, If I Were the Minister for Education, have you got a blueprint here? Have you got some kind of an idea of what sort of a shape regulation might take?
Yeah, I kind of do. I think, I suppose, a Minister for Education doesn't have a power over the entire law, but they sort of have a power over what happens in schools. But let's make me a benign dictator. And,
you don't have to be benign. You can be malevolent if you want.
Right, I'll be whatever you want me to be. But I do think we have to agree, very similar to how we have laws around alcohol sales, cigarette sales, driving, anything at all. We have to agree on an age where it's appropriate for a child or a person to own their own smart
device. And you suggest what?
Look, the agreed age at the moment is 13. I'd probably go a little higher, but I imagine that would be a losing battle. And the only way that will work, though, because there's no point in having the law without it being enforced, as we know, is that we also have to bring society with us in the same way as we could have. We've always had the law, you know, laws around alcohol and all the rest of it. But until people actually bought into it. So, for example, you know, again, 40 years ago, they had slogans that they're, you know, about drinking 2 pints before you drive kind of thing and no more than that. I mean, that's horrific. Obviously, now we know that. But society have to gradually buy into all these things. We have the laws, but we also have to convince people of the merits of why it's a bad idea to allow children unfiltered access to the internet.
But what about then? Okay, so let's say that we agree in age. It's 11, it's 12, it's 13, whatever. Should there be regulation about the apps that can be downloaded to that phone?
Yeah, and the regulations are there. You know, you can't be, you have to be 13 to use most social media anyway, but that's rarely, again, you know, rarely upheld or it's routinely ignored. I suppose this is where I suppose everybody has to come on board, government, the companies who are selling these devices, the agents, the companies that are running the sites, parents, schools. We all have to kind of agree, hold on a second, while these are brilliant devices and everything else and so good for education, there's the dark side, and how do we manage that dark side? And ultimately that comes from a range of people. It's not just one one kind of area that's going to save this.
Simon Lewis, Carlo Educate Together, thank you very much. Plenty of texts on this on 51551. Somebody saying the ban should extend to smartphone use completely for children until 16 years of age. And then Tom texts from the 19th century, says, "Hey, Philip, I just got my first smartphone at the age of 34. Well, welcome to the 21st century, Tom.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.